Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, let's work through this one together. Good afternoon. Welcome in. Royals lose the finale in Detroit. They drop the series to the Tigers. Final score this Sunday afternoon, Detroit 4, Kansas City 1. Let's talk about it. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. It's also the text line number. Again, 913-586-7610. Here's what I want to know from you. We could dive into the game. You can take the show wherever you want it to go, so long as it pertains to Royals baseball. Here's what I want to know from you. Which record right now has more of your attention? The fact that the team, as we've now played 1 month of baseball, the team has a record of 17-12. One of the best marks in all of Major League Baseball. Is it that? Is it the fact that they are five games above 500 a month into the season? Or is it the fact that they're now 0-4 in rubber games, in series deciders? Falling today in a rubber match with Detroit, after doing so in New York against the Mets, in Baltimore against the Orioles, and at home against the O's. Because to me, that's the only way you sit disappointed today. Is if, and listen, I'll be honest, I told you as much on the On Deck show. I really thought today had the chance of being the most satisfying win of the season. To pick up your first rubber game victory, to do it against a division rival, to do it against one of the game's best starting pitchers in Tarek Skubal. And, you know, with how much Detroit's patting itself on the back for a great weekend of the NFL draft, I was hoping Kansas City could steal the series, take two of three, and remind them that we held our own last year when it came to the NFL draft. But, unfortunately, the Royals fall short. I never said it was a big game or a must-win game or a pivotal game. I thought it could have been the most satisfying win of the season. Now, if you want to talk about the game, I think it's a rather simple breakdown. Tarek Skubal carved you up. Tarek Skubal and Shelby Miller carved you up. I don't know if there's much else to it, but you let me know. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. I can't be disappointed in what Michael Wacha put forth. It took him a while for him to find his command. He was up in the zone and getting hit hard early. Three runs come in to score in the first two frames off of Michael Wacha, and that turns out to be more than enough for Detroit, more than enough for Tarek Skubal as he spins seven innings of one-run baseball. But I'm not disappointed that the Royals' offense was carved up by Skubal. I'm not disappointed in what I saw from Michael Wacha. I wanted six innings and a chance to win. He gave the team 5 2/3 innings and a chance to win. The only way you're disappointed today is if you're focused on the fact that those teams with winning records right now have winning records against the Royals, right? You've beaten up on the Astros, who still stink. Now they're getting Framber Valdez and Justin Verlander back, so maybe Houston still has time to turn it around, but for now they stink. And they have one of the 10 worst run differentials in Major League Baseball. You've beaten up on them. You've beaten up on Chicago. That, to me, is the only way you're slumping your shoulders today or hanging your head after this 4-1 loss. Because the game itself, there's no shame in being the next to get worked over by Tarek Skubal. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 4-1 loss are presented by Jay's Southland Tow. be in the know when called Jays Southland Toe. So again, which record has your attention most? Which record is front and center when you're thinking Royals baseball? Is it normally the only record that matters, and that is your season record, a mark of 17-12? Or is it that big 0-4 in series deciding rubber games? 913-586-7610. Let's start off with our buddy Connor in Wyandotte. You're hitting leadoff this Sunday, Connor. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. First of all, before I say anything else at all, if you told me 17-12 almost all the way through April, it'd be hard to not feel good about that if you told me that before the season started. I want to talk about Adam Frazier DHing today and hitting nines. Obviously, it was a righty-heavy lineup, and Frazier's a lefty. Out of curiosity, after the game, I went on Fangraphs and was looking at the lefty-lefty splits for Pasquantino, Melendez, and Frazier. And Frazier, by far, out of all of them, was the worst against lefties. So I don't really understand that move.
Who did you want? Who's the guy that you're saying this guy should have been in the lineup instead of Adam Frazier?
Probably Vinny DHing.
Okay.
Probably, okay. Probably Vinny DHing. So I was just kind of threw me off a little bit. I understand not wanting to go with a lefty heavy lineup, but there's certain guys that just doesn't apply to, and I think Vinny's one of those guys, especially a guy that doesn't struggle against lefties. He's right. Never really had a struggling against lefties. A lefty in there. Anyway, just kind of.
Sure. No, I got you. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Yeah, every righty on the team, every offensive right-handed hitter was in the lineup today. They only have 8 righties, so Adam Frazier was the lefty that received the starts. To me, that's because of all the lefties. Vinny, Isbell, Massey, MJ. In a game that I expect to be very low scoring, right? The total for this game was 7.5. Coming into the game, I was hoping that the Royals would be able to scratch 1 or 2 runs across against both Tarek Skubal and the bullpen. So I came into the game, I only expected 2 to 4 runs for this Royals offense. I was hoping you could get 1 or 2 off the starter, 1 or 2 off the bullpen. Royals get 1 off the starter, none off the bullpen. But if I'm in Vegas and everyone else is expecting a very low-scoring game, I want someone, if I'm going to have a lefty in there, I want someone that's going to help me turn that lineup over, is executing at a high clip right now, and that's Adam Frazier. Vinny Pasquantino came into today 0 for his last 17. He's now 0 for 18. Hunter Renfroe is now 1 for his last 21. Nelson Velasquez is now 0 for his last 20. MJ Melendez is now 1 for his last 20. That's why Dairon Blanco has seen his name in the starting lineup 4 times this week. Because he's bringing energy and he's executing at a high clip. That's why Adam Frazier found his name in that lineup. I had no issue with it whatsoever. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. So which record stands out to you? Which one is in the brighter lights? 17-12, one of the finest marks in the American League, or the fact that this team just can't win that finale against those winning teams? 0-4 in rubber games. Let's go to Darren in North Kansas City. Darren, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Vern. Hey, I like the 17-12 better. It's a great improvement. But one thing, and me and my friends, we like to talk about. We like to play we're the manager, what we would do if we were the manager. And you know, I ran their offensive numbers yesterday. They were batting .237 as a team. That was 7th in the American League. And I was surprised because at the end of last season, that would have put you about 13th in the league. And the point I've been making to my friends is, we got Lofton up in Omaha, He's had about 35 games at the big league level, and when he's been at the big leagues, his batting average over that time is .306. And I'm of the opinion of, I know he's just played second base. I'm sure he could play a little left, a little whatever. Probably not on the, you know, not third base or that. But it, what I'm getting
no, Nick
at
Lofton
is I'm
going to
bring him
base.
Back and
Nick,
put him
Nick
in that lineup until
for who?
He's down there below 200 because we got too many guys batting sub 210, 185, and that's all.
Okay, Darren, real quick. He can play third base. He has played third base at the big league
there
level.
You go.
Whose spot do you want him to take?
Well, I like, and I have watched almost all games. I didn't get to watch today because I was working. Isbell, he's been hanging around 215. I've been kind of done with him offensively. Left field, right field. You know, if he can play outfield, I can put him out there anywhere in the outfield. I really want that bat in the lineup. And, you know, and I'm not giving up on Massey, but he's been up here about 10 games, and he's at about $150.
Okay. All right. I got you down. Appreciate the phone call. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Yeah, Nick Lofton in 13 games, 29 at-bats this season at the big league level, has a batting average of .276. I would encourage you to embrace OPS. Leave batting average in your rear view mirror. Use it occasionally, but start with OPS. Nick Lofton didn't have a single extra base hit. Michael Massey had an extra base hit in his first game back. And if you're talking about putting him in a corner, putting him on the corner at third base, I need some pop. I need some extra base thump. Nick Lofton hasn't proven that. Now, I'm not anti-Nick Lofton. Again, to hit .276 across 29 at-bats is still impressive. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but to the question of who does he replace, you start with Kyle Isbell, man, I can't get with that. I have no issue with how Kyle Isbell's played this season. Yes, the offense is well below league average. But I believe this team can get by with one of the nine spots, basically punting on the offense for one of those nine spots. Now, Kyle Isbell plays a gold glove center field, and when you play a majority of your games at Kauffman Stadium, when you find yourself at Comerica Park, you need someone that can go get it. And that's what Kyle Isbell can do. If you're looking for help for this offense, they need a number five hitter. The top four is set. Mikel, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, they have done their jobs for the most part this season. Those four collectively have done basically all of the heavy lifting for about a week and a half. The last nine games, the Royals have seen three runs driven in from someone other than those four. Two on hit-by-pitches, and the other on a Kyle Isbell home run. So outside of Mikel, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, no one's producing offensively. Thankfully, you have the fifth best pitching staff in Major League Baseball, according to ERA. One of the best defensive units in Major League Baseball. And some of the best team speed in Major League Baseball. So even though Vinny Pasquantino's 0 for 18 and Renfro's 1 for 21 and Velasquez is 0 for 20 and MJ's 1 for 20, even though all of that is true, you've won 4 of 6, you sit 5 games above 500, and you own the third best run differential in Major League Baseball. Pitching, defense, and team speed remains the most powerful weapons in this sport. I'm all about Nick Lofton. I'm a big fan of his, not only on the field, but off the field. But if you're looking for the savior of this offense, he's already here, and he needs to start slugging. Those Renfro, Melendez, Velasquez, one of them, one of those sluggers needs to start slugging, in my opinion. Appreciate the phone call, 913-586-7610. But yeah, don't be too fixated on batting average, because there are a lot of bad batting averages right now in that Royals lineup. What we're looking for is thump. I really don't care if Velasquez or Renfro hit for a low batting average. If you can run into your 40 extra base hits, man, it'll be all good. Royals drop the finale in Detroit, 4-1 the final score. We'll get right back to your thoughts on 610 Sports Radio after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the 1-2, and Bobby swings and hits it off the end of the bat, and that'll drop into center field for a base hit. And two batters into the game, the Royals lead 1-0.
Ryan LaFever on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio, a 1-0 lead, 7 pitches into the game. Sadly, the Tigers would score 2 in the bottom of the first, 1 more in the bottom of the third. A solo bomb in the 6th inning, that's 4 runs off of Michael Wacha. Royals wouldn't cross home plate again. They fall in the finale to the Detroit Tigers. 4-1 the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Which record has your attention right now? 17-12, second place in the American League Central. Fourth best mark in the American League? Or is it the fact that when they're staring down a team with a winning record in these series deciders, they're 0-4, dropping 2 to the Orioles, 1 to the Mets, and today to the Detroit Tigers? Let's go back to the phone calls. Chris in Overland Park, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. Right in the middle of moving, so I didn't get to see the game tonight or today, but your question made me call in. The thing with me is I love that we're a month into the season, we're above 500, we're competitive, and I see a different attitude with the players. I mean, they are busting their butts. It's like they're out there playing with a meaning, playing with a vengeance. Like they're coming out like they own this thing. And I love it. It's fun to watch. And I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's just, that's the thing that sticks to me. I hate losing the rubber matches, but you know what? It's a long season. You're going to take some losses, but
right,
man, they're playing, they're busting their butts, and it's,
well, you know what they're doing, Chris, thanks for the phone call. You know what they're doing? Again, they're just pitching and defending and taking the extra 90 bases, or the extra, well, that'd be great, taking the extra 90 feet on the base paths. That's what they're doing. A team ERA of 3.22, I mentioned fifth best in baseball. The starting pitching has thrown the second most innings in all of Major League Baseball with an ERA. Your starters, 2.98, third best in Major League Baseball. And when you get that, when you have more defensive runs saved than any other team in the sport, and when you're running the bases as well as any other team in the sport, you're going to find yourself in just about every game. And that's been the case this year. We're 29 games in. It's my opinion that the starting pitcher has given you a chance to win in 28 of those 29 games. So, you know, the joke in my household often is when it comes to the NBA, there's no reason really to watch until the fourth quarter because the swings in the NBA are so dramatic. Well, this Royals team right now, if you don't catch the first 5 innings, pretty good chance that the game's going to be close when you flip it on in the 6th. I don't care who's on the mound, who you're facing, how great the other team is, or how much the Royals offense is struggling with this pitching, defense, and team speed, pretty good chance it's a close game in the later innings. That's what you're enjoying. That's what I'm enjoying. And, you know, watching Salvi with a new career-high 18-game on-base streak. Watching Bobby Witt Jr., as we just heard, drive in a first-inning run. Bobby now with 8 RBI in his last 6 games. Yeah, it's a talented team. And talented teams are normally led by pitching. Teams that are led by pitching are playing competitive games on a nightly basis. And I don't know what's more fun than competitive baseball being played between two talented teams. And rooting for one of those talented teams, knowing that they have an MVP candidate that has locked up his 20s to you in this city. Plenty to be excited about right now. Thanks for the phone call, Chris. Let's go to Bill in Brookside. Bill, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Great job as always. I wanted to be the first guy to actually address your question, but Chris beat me to it. I'm just going to say that a 17-12 record gives the team a little margin for error, which is something the Royals haven't had in many, many years. So I'm totally about that. Do I want to win these rubber games? Yes, but I also like to have a little bit of leverage. And it's a young team. They can learn. They can move on. And I'll take the 17-12 any day because I want that margin for error. And I also want to just say how awesome that start was, or that that inning was for the new guy.
Will Klein.
And
oh, my gosh, yes.
I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was waiting for that name to get brought up, and I thought Ryan and Stu did a good job on the radio of making mention and forewarning that with Jonathan Bolin making the start tomorrow, game one of that 3-game series in Toronto, it would not be a surprise if Will Klein is optioned back to Omaha prior to tomorrow's game. Not because of anything that Will Klein did, so if and when you see that transaction tomorrow, just relax. Will Klein will be back very soon. Shoot, Will Klein could be back before you know it. 13 pitches is all the 24-year-old needed to retire the side in the 8th inning, making his big league debut. He gets Colt Keith to ground out on the second pitch. He blows 98 past Zach McKinstry, and then he gets Jake Rogers staring at 96. That's the kind of velo, the kind of go ahead, best of luck catching up to this, Bayou. This bullpen doesn't really have that right now. Now, hopefully Carlos Hernandez can return soon. Hopefully Will Klein can stay. Maybe you'll get some of that Bayou in that Royals bullpen. But great point, Bill, about the equity that this team is now building up for itself heading into the month of May. You know what my mantra has been all offseason. I'm just asking this team to maintain through May. So the fact that when they return home on Wednesday night, they're returning home to face two first-place ball clubs, right? The defending champion Texas Rangers starting on Friday, and then the NL Central leading Milwaukee Brewers starting next Monday. So 6 games at home, all against first-place teams. You're going to go see Toronto again for 3 starting tomorrow. Seattle Mariners aren't too far away, so especially with that homestand, Rangers and Brewers, this equity that you've built up for yourself, this leeway that you've allowed yourself could pay dividends in helping you survive the deep end and maintain through May. Great phone call, Bill. Let's go to Travis in Independence. Travis, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals lose to Detroit 4-1.
Hey, Vern. I just wanted to say that just to address like the first couple callers, they're trying to talk about, I'll do this with Kyle Isbell. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of looking at that. We kind of ran into it like an own version of ourselves and the Tigers right now that they came in, and it's not like that they were playing bad baseball before they started playing this series against us. And I don't know. I just think we need to calm down a little bit. Maybe I'm being a downer. Maybe. I don't know. It just seems like we can bounce back just as, like the Tigers were bounced back against us. I don't know. That's all I got, Vern. Thanks.
I got you. Appreciate it, Trav. I haven't looked at the text line just yet, so maybe your advice to calm down would be beneficial for the text line, but thus far I'm not too worried with what I'm seeing on social media, what I'm hearing from you guys. Listen, again, today's game was rather simple. Tarik Skubal, Shelby Miller carved you up for 8 innings. And you had the tying run come to the dish again in the 9th inning. Now, last night's game, you could put it at the feet of Chris Stratton if you want to. And missed opportunity offensively is what really stings me about last night. The fact that you lose a game when the opponent makes 4 errors. That's why it was tough for me to sleep last night. They made 4 errors and you still lost. I'll sleep fine, and I would imagine most Royals will sleep fine tonight. No shame in falling to Tarik Skubal. 913-586-7610. Tough for Michael Wacha, of course. He's now 1-3 on the season. Wacha gives up 4 runs on 9 hits. He didn't walk a batter. He punched out 3 across 5 2/3. Wacha's now received just 3 runs of support over his last 4 starts. Total, 3 runs total of support over his last 4 starts. No doubt about it, though. Today was his worst outing in his first 6 trips to the Hill since joining the Royals, but you know, if I'm going to be worried about anybody, it's certainly not going to be Michael Wacha. Let's go to Pat in Overland Park. Pat, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I really enjoy the show. I have a season ticket holder out in deep left field, and in this part of the season, I normally don't listen to it because it kind of gets me down, and I listened to it today. And a caller several callers ago who was talking about hating on a lot of these batters, I didn't like it. But I think the key to the season this year is 3 guys, and that's Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi. They've got to be hitting. And if they're hitting, we're going to get run production. If we get run production, we're going to win the games. I think the pitching is really a lot better this year, and I really appreciate that they spent the money and took the time to kind of get that fixed. I think Q is pushing hard, but I think the team needs to gel. And I think regardless of the record, I want to see, sorry, it's my dog, George. I want to see Izzy, Vinny, in every game, you know, MJ is playing with some heart. Great. If he stops, take him out. The guys need to play hard, need to play every day. And I think that's the key to success with us. Thanks.
Good. Yeah. Great call. Great name for the dog. Pat, appreciate it. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Chris in Lee Summit. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals fall to 17-12 on the season.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've got a point that I want to make about Garcia, but first of all, we shouldn't even be having this conversation, okay? And that's because of Stratton. What's the love affair between Stratton and the manager? This is the second time that the manager has allowed him to finish an inning, and he's given up multiple runs. Okay, this isn't the first time.
So, what was your move last night?
Why? I'm sorry.
So I'm asking, if we're going back to last night's game, who did you want to see in that 7th inning?
I'm talking about the game that Stratton came in and relieved.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that was last night, and I'm asking you a follow-up question of who you wanted to see instead of Stratton in the 7th last night.
After he walked one guy and gave up 2 hits, that's when he should have got pulled. That was
for
his
who?
Problem the time. I don't know. I'm not the manager, but there's got to be somebody in the bullpen that he can put in.
Okay, all right. I got you down. Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, we're mad about last night with Chris Stratton. And just because we assume there's a better option, you got to have more than that, Chris. I'm sorry, man, but this isn't that show. This isn't just call up and whine and just utilize the benefit of hindsight. You know, we had good callers last night that took umbrage with the decision to go with Chris Stratton in the 7th inning. And callers last night had it all laid out of exactly who they wanted to see, when they wanted him up, who they wanted to go back out for a 2nd inning. Just calling up and whining I don't want to hear it. Stratton prior to last night, 5 straight scoreless outings, 6 shutout frames. As a matter of fact, 6 hitless innings of relief prior to last night. Chris Stratton going into last night's game was, without question, the third best reliever in that Royals bullpen. James MacArthur's the horse. John Schreiber's the fireman. Chris Stratton earned that spot, in my opinion, last night in the 7th. You wanted Zerpa to go back out for a second inning? Okay, I can listen to that. I was fine with Stratton. He earned that spot. Pitch poorly, no doubt. But the Royals still came back. They lost by 1 run. And let's not forget, you had a leadoff error that you never capitalized on. Appreciate the phone call. Just come correct next time. Let's go to Jenny in Raymore. Jenny, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals lose 4-1 in the finale to the Tigers. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. Well, my name is Jonay. It's not Jenny, Jonay. But I love 610 Radio. That. I listen to it before I go to work, and I listen to it on my way home. And I just got done listening to the Royals game. I've been traveling for the last 3 hours. And I just have a question. I'm not going to whine. I love the Royals, and I'm proud of their record. And, yeah, we're all getting our feet wet. We're all getting to play, and, you know, we're going to be fine. But I keep hearing this phrase, and I'm a lady. I don't always know all the phrases that you guys say. So I heard the broadcasters. I've heard you. I've heard a caller say these rubber games. What is that?
It means that one team's won one, the others won the other, and now this one's going to, you know, this one's going to decide the series.
Oh, okay. It's elimination. Okay. Well, like I said, I want to be up on it. I love the Chiefs and the Royals, and I listen to you guys all the time. And sometimes I have to ask the guys at work, what did this mean? So I kept hearing it today. So, okay, I appreciate it. And I'm not whining. I love the Royals,
no,
and I take the Royals. And thanks for all your great – I love your positivity, the way you present your broadcast, and just go Royals.
Well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate you calling in. Sorry for messing up the name right out of the gate. Thanks for correcting me, and glad to help. Yeah, the rubber game of a 3-game series is – one each. I'm sure it dates back to something from the 16th century, but yeah, the series decider. Thank you very much for listening, Jonay. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, you're on 610 Sports Radio. What do you think, buddy?
Hey, yeah, hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. So to answer your question, 17 and 12, I'll take that all day. That's very cool. We can all dig it. Pitching, speed, defense, hell yeah, let's keep it rolling. To that one caller called in about the game last night, turn on some Bob Seger, turn the page. Oh, you mentioned so. This guy, and maybe he'll help out with this guy's whining. You mentioned him, the 6'5", Will Klein, 6'5", 230, with a fire red beard, bringing the 96, 97, 100-mile-an-hour heat. He could be a high leverage guy later. You guys,
right?
They want him to work on his control, his Achilles. He's walking too many guys. But you saw him today, baby. Two strikeouts, laid him down. I know he's going to go back down, but we're going to watch this guy, the fire red beard, baby. Watch Will Klein. Let's get it rolling. Let's get that victory tomorrow. Great show, and as always, let's pick up that victory tomorrow against Toronto and go Royals.
And listen, if, you know, Will Klein performs well, there's no reason that, despite what the previous callers were saying, Matt Quatrero does not have a love affair with Chris Stratton. Chris Stratton is the third best reliever at his disposal. Maybe Will Klein, Carlos Hernandez, or whomever, when given the opportunity, will capitalize and will earn that 7th inning role or a high leverage spot and will leapfrog Chris Stratton. Maybe. Today, the bullpen consisted of Will Smith, faced one batter, got him to pop out. Nick Anderson threw a scoreless seventh inning. That's now six straight scoreless appearances for the right-hander. And then the aforementioned Will Klein, a 1-2-3 eighth inning. Royals lose 4-1 to the Detroit Tigers. Let's go back to the phone calls. Dale in Rosedale, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, it's been a minute since I've called in. It's not much to cheer about in the last couple of years, but boy, I got to say, these Royals, the pitching has certainly come around.
Yes.
And these two young pitchers that we have, MacArthur and, as you mentioned, Klein, we've got to let them marinate a little bit. And we've got some nice professionals. Maybe they had one or two bad outings, but that's going to happen over the course of a season, certainly. So I think we should just take a minute, turn the page, like Mr. T said earlier, and look forward to a series victory in Toronto.
Dale, glad to have you back. Always appreciate your wisdom and your level-headedness. Thank you very much. Let's go to Mick in Overland Park. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals now make their way to Toronto to open up a three-game series beginning tomorrow night, first pitch at 6:07. Mick, what's going on?
Hey, Vern, good show as always. I don't want to spoil the party, but without Salvi and Bobby, they're pretty much carrying the team right now. I just pulled up on my desktop the 77 Royals that went 102-60 with that 16-game winning streak. And the 12 top players, the numbers they put up and how they slugged, the home runs, the RBIs. I just can't get optimistic about these guys. There's a lot of holes in this lineup, I think, as far as hitting-wise.
No doubt. Yeah, I agree. Now, I will say that, well, according to Denny Matthews, who I would say is the foremost authority on such subjects, but according to Denny Matthews, the team that you're comparing this team to, you mentioned 1977, the 1977 Royals are the greatest Royals that ever exist. That's the greatest team this franchise has ever had. No, we know they didn't win. But Denny says that was the best the Royals have ever been, 1977. 102 wins, right? So I don't know how fair that is. A team coming off 106 losses, getting off to a 17-12 start, comparing them to the best team this franchise has seen in more than half a century. But to your point, yeah, the offense is the concern. That was my main concern coming into the season. Throughout spring training, the reason why I coined 2024 as the deep end was because I thought everything had been done to properly prepare this offense to make or break the season. They were going to be thrown into the deep end and we were going to sink or swim depending on Michael and Bobby and Nelson and MJ and Vinny and Isbell and Massey and the rest. And the front office went out and surrounded them with a completely new bullpen, reinforcements in the rotation, ownership spent big, paid Bobby Witt Jr. so then those hitters know that, oh, you can make a living in Kansas City. They will take care of you in Kansas City. The aggressiveness in spring training of naming Cole Reagans the opening day guy, giving the five spot to Alec Marsh. The aggressiveness in which they've handled this bullpen, removing guys from the closer's role 2 weeks into the season. The aggressiveness with the utilization of the bullpen and the utilization of the bench, I should say. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Everything was done in preparation to make sure that these hitters had everything they needed to succeed. And then it was just on them. And here we are 29 games into the season. The pitching has done its part. In my opinion, the coaching staff has done its part. And the offense has done its part. Right? They're middle of the road right now. That's so long as the pitching staff remains elite, And the defense is elite, and the team speed is elite. I don't need the offense to be elite. And I actually think that's the perfect recipe, especially in a market like this. Pitching, defense, team speed, middle of the road offense. Anyone that knows baseball knows that hitting a baseball, anyone that knows sports knows that hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do in all of professional sports. Baseball fans know that the offense is always going up and down. So if you can not ask, if you can avoid asking the offense to do the heavy lifting, I think that is perfect. That's ideal. And so far, that's exactly what this Royals team is. Elite pitching, defense, and team speed. Middle of the road offense that we're not asking a lot from. Not asking them to do much heavy lifting. But to your point, yes, Salvi and Bobby are doing a lot of heavy lifting. Salvi in this stretch in which he's reached base in 18 straight, he's hitting .344 with an OPS better than .1050. Has 17 RBI in those 18 games and more walks than strikeouts. Wow. Let's go to Jason in Washington. Jason, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thank you for taking my call, man. Love the show.
Yes, sir. Thanks, man.
Yeah, it just makes me laugh. Those of y'all that are complaining about Chris Stratton still. I mean, that game was last night, Vern. Come on, let it go. We're not going to
win. We got another one tomorrow, right?
Yeah, right. We're not going to win every game. There will be games we should have won that we ended up losing. There will be games that we should have lost that we end up winning. Maybe I'm being disgustingly positive, but you move on tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. So if you would have asked me that we would be 500 or better at the end of April, I'd be thrilled. And I'm so, like, come on, guys. Like, I think the broadcast said one more win in April, and I think we'll tie an April record. But thanks for taking my call. Listen off air. Appreciate all you do, Vern. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, it's not even tie a record. One more win, and it's the most wins this franchise has had prior to the calendar flipping to May. There's two things I keep coming back to. The fact that, well, you know, kind of what Mick alluded to, just how much those big four hitters at the top have done all the damage of late. Vinny, Michael, Bobby, Salvi. And I mean, all the damage. That's the first thing that stands out to me, is the fact that this team needs a number five hitter, needs someone to come along and help Michael, Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny at the top of this lineup, help them drive in a run or two. Because you look at the last 29 runs the Royals have scored, spans nine games. They've scored 29 runs or driven in 29 runs in the last nine games. 26 of those 29 RBI have come from Michael, Bobby, Vinny, or Salvi. The other three RBI, two are hit by pitches, and then, of course, Izzy's home run. All that, and yet they're still winning. They're still five games above 500. They've won four of six. They have the third best run differential in Major League Baseball, despite the fact that Vinny, Renfroe, Velasquez, and MJ Melendez are two for their last 79. This team is 17-12. It's remarkable. So what's got to give? That's got to be the follow-up question. How long can you maintain a winning record getting nothing from the bottom half of your lineup? Quite a bit longer, honestly, is the answer. If the pitching, defense, and base running maintains, you can withstand quite a few offensive skids. Royals couldn't today, couldn't do anything against Tarek Skubal. Not many teams are going to do much against Tarek Skubal today. Royals certainly did not. They lose 4-1. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Royals dropped the finale in Motown, 4-1, the final score. They're now 0-4 in rubber games this series, or this season, I should say. 0-4, losing today to Detroit, losing in New York to the Mets at home and on the road to the Baltimore Orioles. Despite that fact, they remained 17-12, second place in the division, still a half game in front of the Detroit Tigers, fourth best record in the American League, and still the proud owners of the third best run differential. 913-586-7610 is the phone number. That's also the text line number. 913-586-7610. From the 785, Vern, maybe I'm nuts, but I was thinking before the game that there's going to be a little offense today going opposite Tarek Skubal. So why not leave Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell in the lineup just for their gloves? It's a fair question. Now, the defense of Dairon Blanco today in center field nor Garrett Hampson at second base came back to bite the Royals, but that's a fair desire. Obviously, Q favored the right-handed bats over the gloves. Terrific glove of Kyle Isbell and very good glove of Michael Massey. Dairon Blanco today, 1-for-4. Garrett Hampson, 1-for-3. Royals had 5 hits total. Michael, Bobby, and Michael Massey in a pinch-hitting role, accounting for the other 3. Back to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 620, I can't take the Isbell hate from the callers or the text line. It needs to stop. There's always one. It's normally the 9-hitter. There's always one guy that is unfairly piled on. Normally, it's the second baseman. This year, it seems as if it's going to be the center fielder in Kyle Isbell. That's okay. He can handle it. I can promise you that. From the 785, Vern, Q's lineup against the Tigers' ace was a joke. Half of the lineup couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. MJ's at-bat was a joke. Forget the postseason. This is a fourth-place team in the division at best. Wow. All right. Maybe you're right. I don't think so, but, you know, maybe you're right. From the 816, Vern, this might sound like I'm being facetious, but it's a real question. Do the Royals have a hitting coach? No. Yes, they have like 3 of them. From the 816, Vern, the ship is sinking. It's a bunch of losers, okay? That text went on for quite a while. Just going to skip right past that. Ryan from Olathe. Vern, beating good teams is a skill in and of itself. These young guys have to learn that skill. Remember, this winning culture isn't something the Royals have had recently. It needs to be built and maintained. Ryan goes on to write, if we are losing rubber matches in June, July, later, yeah, then I'll be concerned. In April, 17-12. Keeping games close? No, I'm not concerned in the least. Signed, Ryan from Olathe. It's a good point. From the 620, Vern, what do you think about Michael Massey getting every day at bats and maybe sliding into that leadoff spot? I don't think there are bad ideas. I like the lineup as currently constructed. I want Garcia, Bobby, Vinny Salvi coming to the plate first. You know, Massey's still an interesting case because he's still rather fresh off the IL, that lower back injury. I'm going to trust the training staff and the coaching staff to handle his playing time accordingly for a while. You know, I think that's a question for mid-May, maybe late May into June. But, yeah, certainly something to monitor. Massey comes in off the bench today in the 9th inning with a man on and nobody out. Second pitch he sees, takes it into right field for a knock. 913-586-7610. Back to the text line. Vern, team speed means nothing if no one is getting on base other than 2 guys. That's coming from the 913. I disagree with that. I know it sounds silly. No one's getting on base. What does team speed matter? Because team speed will put you on base, even if you don't earn your way on base. We saw that yesterday with Dairon Blanco forcing an error, reaching first. Two infield knocks in the game yesterday. Blanco, four hits in his four starts this week. Had only one start all year prior to Monday. Made four starts. Tex goes on to, you know, crush Hampson and Renfro and Frazier, saying they need to improve the bench and improve the roster at the trade deadline. Possibly, if they're still in it, no doubt they'll need to improve the team at the trade deadline. But the reason why Blanco and Hampson and Frazier, these guys, find themselves in the lineup is because they're executing, they're producing, they're getting the job done. Trust me, Matt Quatrero would much rather write in MJ and Renfro and Velasquez and sit back and watch them hit three-run home runs. But they're not doing that. Those three are a combined 2 for 61. Two for their last 61. So no, ride the hot hand. No one's getting on base. Well, then make a way to first base. Hampson, an infield single today. Adam Frazier drawing a walk, getting hit by a pitch. Sometimes you can force your way to first base, and team speed as a way to go about doing that. Text line 913-586-7610. I wanted to quickly hear what Detroit starting pitcher Tarek Skubal had to say about this Royals offense. He throws seven innings of one-run baseball, punched out six. He walked only one right out of the gate. Mikel Garcia hits a leadoff double. Bobby Witt Jr. plates him with an RBI single. They both put very nice swings on changeups from Skubal. And then that changeup became unhittable, because after Bobby's RBI single in the first, Skubal would go on to retire the next 14 he faced. 14 in a row and 20 of the next 21. Here's Tarek Skubal after the game.
Throughout the game today. Yeah, I mean, they're a group that swings a ton, you know, early and often. So there's a little bit more emphasis on kind of pitching in off, you know, not even throwing strikes, just get them to take the first pitch. That way they can't ambush the second one, you know. So I feel like I did a good job of that. And Raj is, he's got great feel back there as well. So
did you kind of game plan to use the changeup later, or is that just kind of how, because once you lock down on the changeup, it seemed to change your whole outing in that third or fourth?
Yeah, I think I just started throwing some better ones, and they started missing them. They were kind of putting them in play early. Bobby Witt, yeah, RBI single in the first, and they started swinging and missing, so I started locating that pitch a little bit better.
AJ said he found another gear after you got the lead back too. How did that play out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever want to give up one in the first. I want to get up you know, our offense a chance to get going. And for them to kind of respond that way and give me a lead and let me pitch with, you know, three runs, I can kind of go right at guys. So,
all right, that's one of the game's best right now. The second shortest odds to win the American League Cy Young. His thoughts on your Royals offense. Well, tomorrow's the first time we see someone other than those starting five that opened up the season. Someone other than Marsh, Singer, Lugo, Waka, Reagans. Jonathan Bolin makes his season debut tomorrow night, going opposite Yariel Rodriguez. Bolin pitching very well down in Omaha. 21 strikeouts in 21 innings. He'll make his second big league start tomorrow night at 6:07. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock. Hey, he's gone. 21 innings in four starts, not too shabby. Hey, Quentin Morris, thank you very much for the help back at the studio. Kansas City, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. Take care.